Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. We were just talking about things you don't want to throw up. Because it'd be gross to see. I mean, it's always gross to barf. But like some particular foods.
Yeah.
It'd be super gross. In particular, I was saying throwing up a Queen Anne's cherry would be kind of gross.
Poof. Yeah. Eating a Queen's Anne cherry seems gross to me, but throwing it up would be worse for sure. Measurably worse.
I have an older cousin who told me, like when I was a teenager, make sure that whatever you eat before you go out drinking is not anything you would be embarrassed to throw up later.
What would that
be? What would
like
that be?
Porn?
Right.
Oh, sorry. I don't know how that got in there.
Right. Like, what would that be? Like, SpaghettiOs and hot dogs? Like, I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Not that many foods I'd be embarrassed to say.
Embarrassed.
Like, oh, my God, it's all Swedish fish and Twizzlers. I don't know.
I have no idea who ate all of those, like, gummy penises or like what would that be? I'd be embarrassed.
I literally ate a bag of dicks before I went out. I'm sorry, okay? I admit it.
A literal so, bag of dicks.
Sorry, I threw up penises everywhere.
We are off to a fine start today.
Hey, woohoo!
Hey!
Hey, we've got good news for the first time.
For the first time in a long time.
As far as I can recall,
no,
ever.
We had like 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was something positive. I just don't remember what it was.
It doesn't count. This whole year has been an abomination, and this was the first thing that's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doug Jones, in case you guys don't
know. I was
going to
say, are you going to name the thing or shall I?
We're talking about the horse riding pervert riding off into the sunset down in Alabama.
Man, people are real attached to that horse picture.
Sassy.
Yeah. So,
Roy Moore.
Doug Jones, Democrat, won the special election on Tuesday. He fills the U.S. Senate seat vacated by Sessions. Boy, bye.
Oh, man. What a just quick moment to reflect just the epic level of dumb crappery that led to this whole thing. Because because Trump.
I prefer to say aggravated dipshittery,
yeah,
which
that's right.
When I am president will be a law.
That is, absolutely, as well it should be. But the Trump makes Sessions his AG. Sessions recuses himself from the Russia investigation, resulting in James Comey being appointed. Then the guy trying to fill Sessions' seat that Trump endorses in the primary, Luther Strange, loses. Then Trump jumps on the Roy Moore perv train.
The perv train, which is a terrible mode of
transportation. Perv train to loser town, as it turns out. And so now now there's a Democratic senator in Alabama for the first time in more than 3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump has just, you know, epic pie all over his face. And, you know, it's just talk about a cell phone. I mean, holy cow. I mean, because, you know, we'll take Sessions. They'll be able to fill that seat easy until, you know, President Toxic comes along.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. It was amazing. I mean, I honestly am so.
I wasn't sure it was going to happen.
Yeah, not at all. As a matter of fact, I was convinced it was absolutely Moore was going to win.
Yeah.
And I'm just so kind of used to just everything being crappy.
And going, of course that's how it turned out because,
yes,
of course.
Yes, the alleged child molester won. That would make
sense. A completely
sense.
Terrible dude won another, you know, like, oh, look at how easy it is for so many crappy, horrible men to fail up.
Right, exactly. So, huge development. And, again, it happened predominantly because of African-American voters, especially African-American female voters.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the white people breakdown, it's just when you consider who Roy Moore is, it is shameful. I mean, it is 70% roughly.
The white people breakdown sounds like the worst reading ever.
That was actually breakdown after Electric Boogaloo.
Worst publication I can think of.
Breaking 3, white people breakdown.
The white
it was horrible.
People breakdown.
Just
snooze.
Straight to DVD. It was not good. But yeah, the 70% of the white vote went to Roy Moore, who again put the alleged allegations of child molestation and mall creeper, et cetera, aside, and he's still a repugnant person. I mean,
yeah.
Just the day of the election, His, I don't know if you saw this or not, but his spokesperson was on CNN with Jake Tapper.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, first of all, Tapper asks if Moore believes that homosexual conduct, whatever that means, should be illegal. And the spokesperson says, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Like, what? What? And then he also, Tapper schooled him in the fact that you can be sworn into public office on, it doesn't have to be a Bible. It can be, you know. It could be a Quran, it could be it could be anything. And so the guy's like, huh? He was so shocked. He was absolutely dumbfounded by that concept. So, I mean, this was just the fact that we were even, that any of this was even a consideration was just preposterous. And still 70% of the white vote in Alabama went to this dude. So that's troubling.
Oh, yeah, it's real shameful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that clip with Tapper was so mind-bogglingly frustrating, because it was like I think it had never occurred to him that Torahs and Quran are actual things.
Yeah.
They're not like Jedi shit. Like, they're real and you can touch them and participate in them. You can shape your life around them. You can do lots of things with those religious text.
Yeah, it was weird. And he just, I mean, honestly.
It blew his mind.
Yeah, he was just dumbfounded. And he just had, like, resting moron face. I mean, you just kind of like, oh? I mean, it was really, it was really bad. And so, yeah, so this was a good thing. And this gives some hope, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, I mean, outside of, you know, I mean, I think you always have to be careful with something like this to not over-evaluate it or get too hyped up about it in sort of the broader sense, as far as it's a blue wave coming or whatever. But what this shows, and what was most important to me personally, was not so much of a Democrat-Republican thing, but just a, you know, do we have a level of decency?
It was like moral order.
Yeah,
kind
exactly.
Of point to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was even, I saw the Washington Post had a story too, of talking about internationally, how there was huge relief from people, because this was a sign, because I think people are really worried about America's moral standing right now. And to see this person.
Including America.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
That's exactly why that too. So, yeah, it was a good night. And hopefully it is a harbinger of other good things to come.
Hear, hear. Here's hoping.
So long, Roy Moore. Right off the top, sassy to the nearest shopping mall.
Well, there was somebody tweeted. I don't remember who it was now. There was so much on Twitter this morning, but someone tweeted like a picture of the mall in Washington. That was like, this is one mall. Here's one more mall he won't be getting into.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Good. I love that. But you know what's going to happen, though? Of course, is this dude's going to go and make a buttload of money off, you know, aggrieved white people who claim they're Christians but don't really get what that means anymore. I mean, you know, he's going to become this, you know, sort of martyred figure, and they'll just capitalize like crap on him. But
yeah, I'm no biblical scholar, but I feel like that, you know, the rhetoric around the way he speaks about young women, and even like in, like the things that have been said in his defense are so preposterous. Like, well, Mary and Joseph were teens. Are you shitting me with that right now?
Yeah, that was just, it was shameful. I mean, anybody who attached themselves to that person, it's shameful. And of course, Trump, of course, tried to, I loved his back away was basically like, well, hey, I was behind his opponent, Luther Strange, in the primary. And, you know, I said he probably wasn't going to, I said Moore probably wasn't going to win, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was like, dude, can you ever just be like, oh,
my bad.
Yeah, fuck that one up.
No, he just absolutely cannot.
Yeah, it's shocking.
Absolutely cannot.
And, but this is, the other thing I notice, have noticed in past moments like this, which is where I think things will get interesting in the coming days, is that, so his initial tweet, which he absolutely did not write, was a congratulatory tweet to Doug Jones.
Oh, there's no way
it was like, proper syntax. It was like proper, you know.
Punctuation.
There was
things were capitalized.
Right, one word was hyphenated correctly. No, that was definitely not him.
Definitely
but then, and then this morning, you know, he let it loose a little bit more.
Yeah.
Not a lot. But I think.
Well, there was one this morning that was really absurd. Keep talking, I'll find it.
He kind of simmers a little bit. But then as the headlines will continue, he's going to start seeing more of this, you know. Donald Trump was humiliated, blah, 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 blah. And so he's going to come back. He's going to pop, and you know, some horrible crap is going to come out. But yeah, there's nowhere to slice it. I mean, this was a smack against him, and thankfully against Steve Bannon. Oh God, Steve Bannon. And what's interesting is how much, in some ways, this kind of unites the left and sort of mainstream Republicans a little bit, because mainstream Republicans hate Steve Bannon. They think he's an absolute garbage person. And he is. But so, you know, I think there's a huge, you look at Mitch McConnell and people like that, there's a huge amount of relief that this went the way it did, even though they lost a seat, because otherwise not only would it have put more in there and they'd have to deal with him, but then they would also have to deal with Steve Bannon, you know, thinking now he can be a real kingmaker and stuff. Yeah. So.
Okay, so here's the tweet that clearly Trump did not write. Congratulations to Doug Jones on a hard-fought victory. The hyphenated write-in votes played a very big factor, comma, but a win is a win. The people of Alabama are great, comma, and the Republicans will have another shot at this seat in a very short period of time. It never ends, exclamation point. The only thing that sounds like Trump in that is the it never ends.
Yeah.
Okay, that was 16 hours ago. 9 hours ago, the reason I originally endorsed Luther Strange and his numbers went up mightily is that I said Roy Moore will not be able to win the general election. I was right, exclamation point. Roy worked hard, but the deck was stacked against him, exclamation point, followed by, wow, more than 90% of capital F, capital N, fake news. Oh, sorry, fake news media, all capital. Coverage of me is negative, with numerous forced retractions of untrue stories. Hence my use of capital social media. The only way to get the truth out, much of capital mainstream media, spelled M-E-A-D-I-A. Mead, like the honey-based wine. Mead, a goblet of mead. The mainstream media has become a joke. And he CCs Fox and Friends.
That is, there you go. You can just tell. I mean, it's ridiculous that anybody would try to think that one is written by, that they're both written by the same person. I mean, it's just
no way in the world is that man, did that man write that person?
Another bottle of fake news mead, please.
Fill my goblet with more fake news mead. Idiot. I didn't care for his Hanukkah tweet. I was frankly surprised that he sent it.
Do you think he wrote? I didn't think he wrote that.
No, I don't think he wrote it. Wishing all of those celebrating Hanukkah around the world a happy and healthy 8 nights in the company of those they love. I don't. That's just not the Hanukkah vibe.
Really? I don't know. Sorry.
No. Also, here's another one. This was yesterday, and this made me laugh very hard. Actually, these two made me laugh very hard. Capital consumer, capital confidence is at a capital all-time high. Capital A-T-H, all-time high, along with a record high stock market, all capital. Capital R, capital H, capital S, capital M, record high stock market. Unemployment is at a 17-year low. All caps now, make America great again. Working to pass, all caps, massive tax cuts, and then in parentheses, looking good. He's off his rocker.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and that's weird. Like, I don't get the, I don't get that capital. It's harder to capitalize thing. You know,
it's harder to, why are you putting in the effort to look like a dumbass?
Yeah, right. It doesn't make, it just doesn't, I don't understand.
Okay, but then the tweet before that I want to talk about, because there is an interesting semantics issue that presents itself. And that is this is before the election. The people of Alabama will do the right thing. Doug Jones is pro-abortion, weak on crime, capitalized, military, capitalized, and capital, illegal immigration, bad for capital gun, capital owners, and capital veterans, and against the all caps wall. Jones is a Pelosi/Schumer puppet, capital puppet. Roy Moore will always vote with us, all caps, vote Roy Moore. Now, I want to focus on the term pro-abortion.
Yeah.
Because pro-abortion, that term implies that you are in favor of abortions happening.
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't mean you are pro-choice. It means like...
You love abortions.
If that is a fetus, we need to get it out of there.
Right. Exactly.
So, which is interesting because I've been thinking about often on the other side of things, the language is calling someone pro-life.
Right.
As like, oh, so-and-so's a pro-lifer, or there were pro-lifers protesting, which is interesting because isn't it more effective from a change perspective to say, anti-choice or anti-abortion. You know what? Particularly anti-choice.
Yeah.
I think it's subtle, but it.
Oh yeah, I think it's a big difference.
But it does, right. And I think the more widely used term is pro-life, mm-hmm. and to describe a person at a protest like so and so is a pro-lifer.
Yeah, pro-life and pro-choice. I think that's what
yeah, that's what
most.
People say. Yeah, yeah right. But I think there should be a concerted effort from the pro-choice side to say anti-choice.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Instead of pro-life. I mean, it matters. To me, that's a very different thing to say there's a group of pro-lifers over there versus there's a group of anti-choicers over there. Because then you're saying very clearly, defining what my issue is with you
right.
over there
yeah.
is that you don't support choice. It's not that, because the opposite implies that if you are pregnant, you must terminate the pregnancy.
Right.
Which is not what anyone is arguing about here.
No, I agree. But although I don't know that we have. First of all, if you did that, then they're just going to start saying pro-abortion more. I mean, I think it's kind of a
well, fuck them. I just think that's...
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I totally agree with you.
I do think language... I don't think language will matter, will, like, change things on its own, but I do think it matters.
Yeah, you're right. It definitely does, yeah. We'll take that up at the next meeting.
Great. If you could... wait, who's we?
I don't know. I'm just... The leftist cabal.
The dudes meeting
yeah.
or the witch?
Yeah, no. I just meant sort of like the, you know.
Oh, for a minute, I thought you were telling
Soros
me you
funded...
were pro-lifer. I was like,
no, the Soros
what? Fund. We are far into this process for me to learn that you are anti-choice.
And the podcast ended.
And I have to leave, and you're hearing the last moment I ever spoke to Huffy again. Bye. Just kidding. I would still speak to you if you were an anti-choicer. I would just have a different approach.
No, I meant like the, you know, conspiratorial Soros-backed.
Oh, where we get
Satanists.
The checks from Obama.
Right, yeah, exactly. That was what I was referring to.
To write fake news.
Yeah, the next meeting.
Thanks, Obama.
To plot how to be more evil liberals.
Those are good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The
last time we were on the air together, like live,
mm-hmm.
Somebody was like tweeting something about how... Guth and Hupke were libbing it up and soiling WGN Radio.
Really?
Libbing it up. Not living it up.
Libbing large.
That's libbing large.
Got that tattoo on my forearm. Libbing
sweet.
Large.
So that
man.
Was a thing that happened.
That's funny.
People are real sweet on text messages and tweets and all.
They're the nicest. Oh my God, I'll have to pull it up later. I got the craziest email I've ever gotten in my
life. Is the one you put on Facebook?
Yeah, yeah. It was so... It was
oh,
a,
yeah.
Like a world... I'll find it. I'll read it later. It's worth. It's entertaining.
But
just its
no,
craziness.
Go, yeah, fine. Because it's like what I had to read it a couple times to understand what was happening. Because it was. I mean, it was like partially obscured the way it was posted. So I just saw a couple of letters at first, and you know, there's a minute where I'm like, do I even want to read this gross trash? But I was like, well, Hupke was assaulted. His eyeballs were assaulted with it. So I'm going to read it.
Oh, here it is. Okay, I've got it right here. Shall I, or do you want to do this later?
Sure. No,
okay.
Go for it.
Okay. You. All caps, can't mm-hmm. have your head that far up your ass, can you? This is in reference to a Trump thing that I wrote. He said, know what they say. I know his statement hurts your feelings. I was talking about Trump's slamming of the media and its sort of attacks on the
sure.
free press. So he said, I know his statement hurts your feelings. Know what they say in the Mexican army? El tufo shitto.
What?
Open your eyes. As of now, you are the sorry liar. You ever try writing about... Clitons, which of course should be Clinton's, but Clitons,
C-L-I-T-O-N-S. I love that planet.
Obama and the treason, R-E uranium. Go ahead and try if you have the balls. All you mainstream media have, all caps, sold out the country by publishing only the pap that your baby-killing Satanist master Illuminati
yeah,
approve.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever hear of Plan 21? What about the pre-concentration camp Walmarts? Why not talk?
That's my favorite part of the whole thing.
No, this is my favorite. Why not talk about the underground bases and the worldwide tunnel systems? I'm like, we got tunnel systems?
Wait, there are tunnels?
Cool. Like, why didn't anybody tell me this?
Pre-concentration camp Walmarts.
And then, Bob, the eyes of conscious people are watching. Hope you wind up in prison with the pedophile elite. Your article screams, I'm a punk bitch for the poop-eating... Baby killing masters. I'm a punk bitch for the poop eating baby killing masters.
That's going to be my ringtone.
Sent from my iPhone.
Oh my God. There's so much to that.
I know. It's just, I mean, it's still, it's, but the tunnel system, I was like, hmm?
Wait,
first, you piqued my interest with concentration camp Walmart centers, but then the tunnels. I was like, ooh.
I don't think his understanding of historic timelines are lining up quite right.
No, I don't think so. Or maybe we're just missing something big. I don't know. Who's to say who's right or wrong?
Yeah, chilling over at the so-and-so was a greeter at the fucking Auschwitz Walmart.
Yes, exactly.
Get out of here with that trash.
I'm just a poop-eating baby killer. What can I tell you?
Illuminati.
Yeah.
And there was another one.
Illuminati master something something.
Oh, yeah. My God. Hucky, this is your day.
Yeah, it is. But that one was particular.
That's a special one.
Yeah, that's suitable for framing. It was really.
I think that's extra crazy.
Yeah. You don't often get that much crazy in one email, but that time.
I got to say, if you were going to attack someone online, even if you believe you're not attacking, you're just like, I'm going to go after this guy who's just this asshole columnist. I'm going to go get him and give him a piece of my mind. Here's the thing. Those of us in the words business, we do judge your words.
Yeah.
And if you can't spell things or punctuate, it does make you sound less credible, as most of social media will point out, because God forbid if you ever like put an extra fucking comma in a story that goes online,
yeah.
It won't be like, oh, hey, Guth, real quick, there's an extra comma there. It'll be like, fucking dumbass, you probably fired all the copy editors, idiot. my bad. I hit the comma twice. I didn't catch it. You're right. Thank you for being my eyes. Everyone needs an editor. Yeah, that's what I fucking thought. Yeah, you're
extra
right.
Extra comma user.
Thank you. Yeah. You're right. I made a mistake. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, what are you doing? But like, not that any of these people are listening to us right now, because the 9 people that listen to us are excellent with their
wonderful people.
Grammar and punctuation,
yes.
And usage, because we see their tweets. But here's my tip for the opposition, and that is learn to spell some shit and learn when to capitalize the fuck out of some letters and when not to, more importantly. Nothing makes your point shittier than when you have to use something format-y to make it for you.
Yeah.
Make your point with words, not 16 exclamation points, all caps, and nothing spelled right. How about that? If you don't know, Google.
I had one exchange one time where it was like, you know, rah, 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 you know, and it had some, and I just responded with that should be YOU'RE, not YOUR, and then they like responded again and were like, meh, 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 it was, and there was another mess up, and I responded that should be a comma after that word and then a blah blah blah, and then they responded again and they were like, shut up. I was like, man, I could do this all day.
I did that one time. I wrote back to a reader. And it was so nasty. Like the first response, I was like, I'm just going to be above reproach here and just respond to the actual question he asked that was not like rhetorical and just trying to be a dick. Because one of them was like, where do you even find that information anyway? So I told him, like, here is where you can look this up for yourself. Done. But he had made many errors. And he was like, oh, you think you're so fucking smart, don't you? And just like went off for like 2 or 3 paragraphs, just on and on about what an elitist snob I am. Because I answered his fucking question. I was like, oh, my God, I can't win this guy. And he just, and then I stopped. And then like a couple hours later, he sent another email bitching more. And I was like, this guy's just crazy. So I wrote back and I was like, I really appreciate your passion around this topic of e-readers. That was the topic, e-readers. You know, here again, here is the link from earlier. And I don't remember how I said it, but somewhere. Anyway, I did basically the same thing of like, you know, that's plural possessive and not that, you know. And he was like, I don't even know the language you're saying. Don't even try that with your elitist. What did he call it? It was like elitist, not speaking, but it was like elitist wordplay or something. I'm like, it's not
elitist wordplay.
I'm an elitist because I said plural possessive.
They're just words, actually.
We are actually totally screwed if plural possessive is elitism.
Yeah. All right. Fancy pants. You and your talking right.
Right. You and your proper using words mouth. Like, what is happening right now? But that's my tip. So don't ever accuse me of not of only helping one side.
Yeah.
I'm here to help. Just spell shit right, and maybe people will listen to you.
You just give and give. That's all.
I know. I'm a giver. And and the thing I'm giving you today is Y-O-U-R, you're a dumb bitch. Y-O-U-R is not going to hurt my feelings as much as Y-O-U apostrophe R-E.
Yeah.
You are a dumb bitch.
There you go.
So there's that.
Yes.
Oh,
welcome to America.
Hey, do you want to talk about
yes.
Gillibrand?
Yes. That was just...
That was a thing that occurred.
That was just inappropriate.
How do you feel about the tweet? Like, there's a lot... There are people that are, like, going... I mean, Trump's tweet. There are people that are going, like, I don't think there was sexual innuendo there.
There absolutely was sexual
there
innuendo.
There was... thank you. Yeah. Absolutely sexual innuendo.
That, first of all, even without his notorious... and well-documented background of being
right. Even without,
a dirtbag like
totally.
That, it still was clearly a sexual... I mean, it was a very, like, willing to do anything. You know, that is very clearly what he was getting at.
Yeah.
And but you factor in his, you know, appearances on Stern over the years and his, well, his grab him by the pussy comment
right.
and everything else about the guy... And his just general, well-established disrespect for women, and not to mention dominance, you know, kind of behavior, and yeah, that's clearly what that meant, and it was absolutely offensive, and truly, like, I mean, for a, it's hard, it gets hard because the guy's done so many out of bounds, offensive, inappropriate, unpresidential things. That it becomes like, oh, where do you, you know, well, is that worse than this? Or what do we do? What do we do? But
that's the thing. You don't have to go after the worst. You don't have to wait for the bottom. You can just
right.
say, like, here's the line, and here's when you have crossed it.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, this is a sitting U.S. senator.
Right.
And he is making a you know, just baseless, sexist, awful...
Oh, it's shitty shit, all right.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, I absolutely thought. And I thought anybody arguing otherwise is ridiculous. And I will say, and I'm sorry if I'm babbling about this, but there was this sort of chatter before the White House press briefing yesterday about how Sarah Huckabee Sanders was going to handle this.
Yeah.
As a woman, and, you know, given the rather grotesque nature of this and the fact that, you know, really people, that one really, I mean, that caught, people were very upset, rightfully, about that tweet. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders got up and just lied like a regular old sociopath. I mean, it was just insane, you know, trying to say, well, no, anybody who thinks that has their mind in the gutter.
In the gutter, yeah.
And anybody...
It was not a sexist tweet.
Right. He was talking about our broken system. And I'm like, meaning
really?
Like, you know, pay to play kind of stuff. And I'm like,
right.
come on, man.
And
I have to
that.
Say...
Miss me with that.
It made me think about, because I was in a editorial board meeting with Donald Trump shortly after he had... entered the race and sat there for an hour and a half watching him be interviewed, and I asked one question, I think, and I've never seen anybody lie and deflect so effortlessly in my life. It was absolutely... I went in thinking I was going to write a funny column about it because here's this clown who's running for president, and I left absolutely terrified because I'd never been around somebody like that. I've never been around someone so devoid of any... like sense of moral core or just anything. And she reminds me exactly of him. When I watch her, because I watched that White House press briefing yesterday, I was specifically curious about that. And I just had a flashback to that editorial board meeting. I'm like, it is the same damn thing. She doesn't... I mean, usually, you know, when somebody is lying and deflecting, you'll sense it, maybe a bit of nervousness, maybe a little... Not a thing, man. It's as easy as breathing for her. I mean, she just does it, and it is absolutely sickening. So that I'm bothered by so many things, but that was just terrible. And you know, it's already gone. It happened yesterday, and now
right, and we were already like miles
away. People are moving along.
Here was the exact lightweight senator. Let's see here, where is it? And someone who would come to my office, quote, begging for campaign contributions, not so long ago. Parentheses, and would do anything for them.
Yeah. Even the begging in parentheses is
begging
sort of,
was in quotes.
Right.
And would do anything for them is in parentheses.
Yeah. And look, I'm not trying to be, I mean, it's hard. I mean, you know, the thing I think that we all, anybody who's vocal about Trump struggles with is having credibility to discern between, you know, something really bad and something not really bad or whatever. They're like, well, you just hate Trump, so everything he does you're going to see through a negative light. And I'll admit that there's certainly some truth to that. But
he's also, like, past the point of benefit of the doubt.
Exactly, right. And
we have no reason to give him benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, there is no way. I mean, this is just objectively appalling, and I don't see how anybody can look at that and be like, oh, no, I get where he's coming from.
It's like, I see what he's saying.
Put it to the past president test.
Yeah.
You know, Bush, Clinton, Obama, Reagan.
Any president.
Not that they would have tweeted, but if they said, you know, come on, people would have been...
Oh, my God.
Scandal of biblical proportions, you know, and now...
Oh, yeah.
It's Tuesday.
If you are sending a tweet, you are making a public statement, not an official White House one necessarily in the way that we are used to, but now that has changed.
Yeah, it is. I think it is an official. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Right,
but now it has changed. Yeah. But it is in public. It's not like rumor. It is if you are a public official, you are accountable to every word that comes out of your mouth.
Sure.
Everywhere.
Yes.
You can't just do that. You cannot just tweet this bullshit. And the thing is, I'm sure we've had many presidents who are just assholes.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why you have handlers.
Sure.
So you don't come off like an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be like a little bit approachable or likable on some level. There's just like nothing redeeming about this guy.
Right. And the other aspect to this that added to the offensiveness, it was offensive on its own under any circumstances. But in the, you know, kind of Me Too moment right now, this was just sort of thumbing his nose at that,
mm-hmm.
you know, sure. It was like an above the law kind of thing. Like, none of this matters, bah, whatever. And, you know, so that just heightened the offensiveness of what he did and just showed how, you know, just tone deaf, not just tone deaf, he just doesn't care. I mean, there's absolutely no concern.
It's the word anything. I mean, that's really the problem here. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like begging in quotes and saying anything. Because it'd be one thing if you were like, you know, man, that senator would do just about anything to get that bill passed versus that senator would do anything to get that bill passed. One implies something more sinister.
Sure.
And if we're talking about a man and a woman, particularly a man who's in a position of power to that woman, it is going to imply something of a sexual nature.
Yes.
He has implied that she has offered him sexual favors or completed them to get things done professionally,
right.
Which fuck you. Like, that makes me so fucking mad about that. Like, anytime there is a sexual suggestion about a woman being able to accomplish things in her career because she slept her way there, that fucks us all.
Sure.
It really does. It absolutely undermines all of us. I think I've told you this story before, Hupke. I think I've said it on here about early when I first started working, like I had a boss who was really a nightmare and said something inappropriate to me that made me realize he hired me because he wanted to flirt with me.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was like, I'm an idiot. I was thinking this man hired me because he thought I was smart. I felt humiliated. I felt like a fool. And I got to tell you, I was like early. I was, you know, just started working. That never left. That has stayed with me my whole damn career because, like, there's a little part of me that anytime, like, I'm like, am I being hired for the right reasons? Even, like, on a subconscious level, that shit stays with you.
Yeah, sure.
And so when we have assholes in seats of power making – I'm not saying people don't sleep with each other to get things accomplished professionally. I'm sure that happens all over the place. But to make that your go-to.
Right. Yeah. No, it's
– And if it is what he's implying, he's saying he's had an affair with a senator. And that's a big fucking deal, too.
Yeah.
Either one.
While he was married, presumably.
He's been married a lot, so I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Like.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous.
It shakes out badly either way.
Yeah. And also, not for nothing. What's funny is that all these dumbass dudes out there are going to be like, yeah, good job, Trumper, MAGA, whatever. But it's the most cowardly way you could. If you're going to do something like that, you know what?
It's too easy to play that card.
Don't hedge your bets either.
No.
And that's what he did. Because it's that built-in plausible deniability. And not that I would respect him more. I think he's this doesn't make anything better. But my point is, like, he might as well have said, you know, yeah, she came to my office and said she'd bang me for
Yeah, come out and say it.
Right, just say it. Don't be a complete doink about it. Just say it if you're going to say it. Don't dance around. You're just dancing around. He's like the guy who is out with a bunch of people and starts a fight and then runs away when the fight breaks out and lets everybody else have to deal with it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's a sort of baked-in way of saying, no, that's not what I meant.
Right.
And it's, it's childish and it's horrible and cowardly. And
yeah, she's not taking it.
No.
One thing she said, like, it was certainly a sexist smear intended to silence me. And she's like, nah, it ain't going to work, bye.
Well, and other people pointed out that perhaps it was sort of an in-kind donation to her presidential campaign. So, it gives her an opportunity.
That's interesting.
It was like a what do you call it? Like lobbing a ball over the base over the plate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at sport, lobbing a ball over the
sports
base.
Sports ball, make the points.
It was like it was a real slam thing. No, but it created a situation where, she could, look very strong,
kind of on her A game.
Yeah. Right, strong and decent and good, which she
and tough and not taking his shit.
Right, yeah, and she did, and I wouldn't expect anything less. But it just.
But yeah, you're right. Especially right now, there's been so much for so long that like all of us, and again, we are only beginning because this has only been affecting men in high upper echelons of power. You know, this is still making its way down, but everybody's kind of feeling it, and so. I think what for so long has been like, can we let it go, please? It was just a joke. Like, what has been acceptable as joke culture suddenly isn't.
Right.
And I think bosses are now realizing if you're like, hey, there's this offensive thing here, or this horrible thing was said, like, really?
Yeah.
Where we're used to being like, I know, he was just kidding. Don't worry. Suddenly it's like, okay, you're right. Maybe we should have some training around here or something like that, To do something or say something like that now is so tone deaf. It's always been tone deaf, but it's especially like you have every opportunity. Like, I don't know who in the world you are right now that you don't understand what's happening with Me Too.
Yeah.
Even if you don't agree with it, you know what it is.
Right.
So to make that statement right now.
Yeah. Well, he's just above everything. I mean, it just shows that again. Nothing affects him. He plays by nobody's rule. He is simply his own thing. And and he'll turn immediately. I mean, look at the way he handled Rory Moore. He immediately threw him under the bus. I mean, he is and is of only himself. There is no other person. There is no other group of people. There is nothing that he is about beyond himself. And that includes, frankly, his passionate followers. He doesn't give a crap about them.
No.
I mean, not a remote crap. And that's what, veering off of the topic a little bit. But, I mean, that's, at the end of the day, that's one of the things about this where there is, to me, I don't feel sorry for people that have bought into his crap because I think you have to have a certain level of personal responsibility to not fall for the Nigerian prince scam, which is pretty much what they've done here. But at the same time, there is a tragedy that is going to unfold when all of these people who put all of their faith in this charlatan get a turd sandwich and have to eat it. It's going to happen.
In the form of economic.
No, an actual turd sandwich.
I mean, is it economic or is it social?
Both.
Okay.
I think economic largely in that they are not going to get all of what they dreamed they would. Their lives are not going to suddenly be better. The gays aren't going to go away. Women aren't going to go back to their places in the kitchen. And, all this sort of the factory jobs don't come roaring back. The coal mines stay closed.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing better happens. And you know what else? You've lost 4 or 5 years in the process because you were sitting on your ass waiting for Trump to deliver for you. So anyway, that... whatever. But that's the thing, is that that's what's so amazing. And that's the feeling I got when I was in that meeting, too, watching him with people, our editorial board and other political reporters who I think are some of the best in the country. And it was just, it was like a black hole was sitting in a chair and just.
Was it one of those, like, because I've been around people like this where they, not only are they just devoid of any sort of emotion. And you can sense the emotion on someone. You know, like mm-hmm. even someone you don't know that well, you can be like, you seem down today.
Okay.
No. Or like, man, I don't know that person well, but she really seems like terribly depressed or really happy about it. Like you can, we're human. We can read each other. But I've been around people like that are just like, they nothing going on there emotionally. And one in particular one time, and this was someone I interviewed also, I felt like not only was there none of that emotional resonance happening, but there was also a sense of like, I think this person believed they were the most intelligent person in the room by a long shot. Was he doing that as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, let me hedge just an abundance of caution and say that I'm not saying that I think he's a sociopath, but it sure was, I mean, it was chilling.
Yeah.
Legitimately. And I talked
to people. It creeped
you out. Yeah, I talked to people about this afterwards too. And there have been only a few times in my life when I've been around people who really terrified me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't people that you would expect, you know, like just some big dude packing heat or something like that. I mean, it was like people who, where you're like, this person has no soul, or there's just something missing here, and this person is capable of anything, and that is what I think is scary, and that's what scared me about him. Not that he seemed violent or vicious or, mm-hmm. or necessarily, just that he was so self-consumed, and there was nothing to get to there. We could have sat there for 50 hours and would have gotten no further in getting at a human being who thinks anything but the greatness of himself. There's no self-reflection. There was no admission of any negatives. There was no willingness to, sort of think about other people even.
It wasn't like, there's people that are just like so guarded,
mm-hmm.
but you know there's vulnerability underneath.
No.
You're saying like that
Not
wasn't even
all.
There.
Not at all. Yeah, it was baffling. And frankly, the other Hope Hicks was there. Corey Lewandowski was there too. They didn't talk, so I can't really say. But just the whole vibe. They were all, I was just like, gah. Hope Hicks
Sage
was,
the room.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. Hope Hicks was, I was just like, what in the hell, man? I mean, she was like terrifying in her own right. And same with Lou and Dad. Like, they're just, I don't get it. I
don't feel sorry for Sarah Huckabee Sanders at all. But I also sometimes feel like, well, what the hell choice do you have other than quitting your job?
Quit your job. I mean,
I would.
Right.
Because I would be like, not, I couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah.
Covering for someone like him.
Yeah.
But do you, but what I'm getting at is, do you think that she's just like, screw it, I have an awesome job?
No.
Or do you think she is that kind of person too?
I think she is that kind of person also. I think
I'd buy that.
Soulless. I really do. I don't see how, I mean, you know, and again, I mean, we're generally speaking, I think we have higher bullshit detectors than most people. And you can usually sense when somebody is, you know, being dishonest.
Sure.
There's little tells and there's different things and they sort of dance around and they don't just look you in the eye. And that is a unnatural behavior to be able to lie that effortlessly when you know you're full of crap. Frankly, even Sean Spicer struggled with it. I mean, he was, you know, Sean Spicer was not as sort of cool and calculating as she is. He was a little more squirmy. Where you could be like, okay, Sean, we know you're lying, but, you know, you're doing your job. That's where I saw the doing your job part. With her, I don't know if she believes it or not. I don't think
but
it matters.
But she could sell it.
Yeah, and I don't think it matters. At the end of the day, I don't think, you know, I just don't think there's that, there's a beat missing. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, I would do that and then be like, oh, God, I feel bad. You know, they do it and then go have lunch, you know. It's like, okay.
Well, and I think, I mean, as you're saying that, I'm thinking that's kind of why the Melissa McCarthy portrayal of Sean Spicer worked, because we all knew he wanted to flip out.
Yeah.
There was emotion going on underneath that was like, he was, every time he was up there, he looked like a deer in headlights. He looked terrified and he looked like, how the hell did I get here?
Yeah.
Which is not to say I feel bad for that guy either. Like, you make your choices, every word that comes out of your mouth and every action you do.
Yeah.
I get that. And I don't think he was like under duress or he was like, oh, it's the only job I could get. No, I don't think that.
No.
But I'm saying there was a sense from him that like, man, this guy wants to punch somebody. He's so frustrated right now. And that's why Melissa McCarthy's portrayal of him worked, because like, we all knew he wanted to throw that podium right around him. We knew he did.
Yeah, yeah. But with her though, it's just this looking, I mean, dead-eyed looking. I mean, there's just nothing there, man. And it, chills, man. It really does.
Yeah.
People, those are the most dangerous kind of people, I think, anybody that can be that effortless about deception.
Right.
So, I mean, I start to sweat. I get
I know.
I feel terrible.
When you are lying to people? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Great.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
I just feel terrible most of the time.
Also that, yes. Well, So we open with a more positive note this week.
Yay.
We'll see how the next week finds us.
Yes.
Hopefully another positive note, although I don't know what that could be.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. I got nothing.
I mean, the year's almost over. That's what I got.
Let's just take this one and run with it.
2017's almost finished. Yes. So let's just enjoy this particular episode.
Let's say tomorrow is New Year's and call it a good, be like, okay, we ended on a positive note. Bye.
Yeah. No take backs. Bye. Yeah. I'm on board with that. So be cool to each other. Don't be jerks on Twitter. We'll see you next time. This has been Amy Guth and Rex Hupke on Politics.